Let us pray. Almighty God, we come this evening on that day that we have come to call Good Friday in remembrance of your indescribable love that caused you to send majestic Lord Jesus Christ, he who bore in heaven the second name, to come to earth, to live and suffer humiliation, to have not whereon in earth to lay his head, and take upon us, upon himself, our sins. We believe it was for us he hung and suffered there. As we come tonight, O Lord, we do view the cross through the empty tomb and praise you that which he did for us on that Friday afternoon was indeed, Lord, the full, total, and complete payment of the penalty of our sins. And so, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, speak to every heart, we pray thee, that our hearts may be weaned from earth things and look upon the face of our Lord Jesus Christ in his suffering, but also in his triumphal resurrection. And be glad. Bless everyone here and grant, O Lord, that if there be those who have not yet come to know him as Savior, tonight your Holy Spirit will so work to bring them to that faith, we pray. These things we ask of thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we join to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our first lesson is found in the Gospel according to St. John, 13th chapter, beginning our reading at verse 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done for you. Truly I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking to all of you. I know whom I have chosen, that the scripture will be fulfilled. Who he ate my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I'm telling you this now before it takes place. Then when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spake. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at the table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, is it I?" Jesus answered, "It is you to whom I will give the morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then, after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said to him, "What are you going to do? Do quickly." Now, no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. Here ends the first lesson.
Following each New Testament lesson this evening, we'll sing the psalm that prophesied the event years before, which is found in the insert in your bulletin. Let's stand and sing Psalm 41, verses 7 through 10.
Second lesson is from John chapter 18, verses 18 through 27, and there's a lesson of rejection of Christ. "If the world hates me, you must know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. And yet this happened, that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in the law, they hated me without a cause." It ends the second lesson.
The third lesson is from John 18, beginning at verse 28. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priest have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priest and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar."
This is the fourth lesson, mocking, and it's from Matthew 27:24 through 34. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And then they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a thorn of crowns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." When they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head, and when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. Now, as they came out, they found a man, a Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink.
The fifth lesson, John chapter 19, verses 17 through 24. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus in between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests and the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather this man said, I am king of the Jews. But Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things.
Thank you. The sixth lesson is from Matthew 27, verses 35 through 44, regarding insults. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. This ends the sixth lesson.
This is the seventh lesson, which is darkness. It is Matthew 27, 45 through 49. "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, 'This man is calling Elijah.' And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, 'Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to save him.'" This is the seventh lesson.
This is the eighth lesson, Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 49.
It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly, this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled before the spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned to their home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things.
Thank you. The ninth lesson is from John 19, 28 through 37, and it's about the death of Jesus. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill Scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Since this was the day of preparation so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another Scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." Thus ends the ninth lesson.
Thank you.
if the men would come forward to prepare the table. My reading of the scriptures leads me to understand that there are basically three types of people. And my guess is they're all represented here tonight. There are those who have a sincere, deep love and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for your sins, and that secures your eternity. There are those who have a nominal trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, a polite nod, a culturally acceptable affirmation of the Lord Jesus Christ that truly has not pierced the heart or the mind, the will. And then there are those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ whatsoever. And I would ask you tonight, in light of the scriptures that we have read, the psalms that we've sung, to ask yourself, which of those most closely describes me? And whichever category you might find yourself in, I hope, and my prayer is, that we would all at least have a clearer understanding tonight, a deeper appreciation tonight, for the cost to the Creator of the universe to reconcile sinners such as ourselves to himself. It cost himself in the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.